Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, fight back. Take back your destiny. I don't know if you're sitting by the right person. Find the right person and say, fight back. Take back your destiny. I know some people were not expecting I would do that. But let's dig into it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. The TPT. Now, read that scripture to that neighbor and read out loud. One to go. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. Before we were even born, he what? He gave us our destiny. That we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. God always accomplishes. He works all things in compliance and according to the pleasure of his counsel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. So what you're going to notice is that I want you to note that somebody said, before we were born, God gave us our destiny. How many of you noticed that your destiny comes from God? It's a God-given destiny. So you cannot actually carve out a destiny for yourself. You may try, but it wouldn't be the destiny God planned out for you. You may try. So, and we're going to listen. This is very important. And then you see the purpose why he gave us destiny is that we will fulfill his plans and his purposes. I told you that when you talk about the purposes of God, you're going to see it as other words. Plans, his will, his counsel, and his thoughts. So somebody say purpose. Say plans. Say will. Say counsel. And thoughts. So let's settle down and begin to take it from one after another. What is destiny? What is destiny? Write this down. Destiny is God's specific, sovereign plan and purpose for a man's life or a person's life. That's what it is. God's specific. It's specific, sovereign plan and purpose for a person's life, which is ordained before the person is conceived in the mother's womb. This is ordained before a man is conceived. So the Bible said, before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. So destiny is ordained by God before a man is even conceived in his or her mother's womb. To take it further, destiny is also ordained before the foundation of the world. Before the world began, there are certain things God established before the world began. There are two revelations that will help us understand destiny very well. The revelation of divine destiny rests on these two abilities of God. There are two abilities of God that helps us understand. Every revelation of destiny rests, because I want us to understand destiny, because we're going to take it, you know. One is foreknowledge. God has ability to know the end of a matter before it begins. God has the ability to know the end of a matter before he begins, foreknowledge. The second is predestination. By the foreknowledge of God, he can now predestine what a man would be. Rebecca became pregnant with two babies, and the prophetic came forth that she was carrying two nations. One will grow up to become Israel. The other will grow up to become what? Edom, right? Is that right? And in God's foreknowledge, he predestined that the younger, Jacob, will be the one that will be the custodian of what? Of the blessing. That the transfer of that blessing will go from Abraham to Isaac. And what is on Isaac? That he will be the heir, that he will have the right of the firstborn, even though he's the younger. What was that? Later you will find out that Esau made certain choices. And the Bible calls Esau a profane man by his choices. A profane man. Choices that were synonymous to immoral choices. Profane. He will not value, he will not value the right of the firstborn, which means he will not value the inheritance of that blessing. It was such, he was so profane that just for hunger and a plate of food, he gave up the right of firstborn, his own right of firstborn. And the Bible said, though he sought it after it with tears, it was late. If you could treat such a matter, do you understand this? The sacredness of that matter. That's how God is going to introduce Jesus. And there is someone in line to collect that thing that wouldn't value it. And so it landed on the one that will value it. Is it God that made the choice for Esau? No. You've got to understand, when it comes to destiny, that man, God created man a free moral agent and gave man the right to make choices. But in his foreknowledge, he already knows the choices people will make. We see certain degrees of this gift of God, of this ability of God, expressed in the gift of discernment. When the gift of discernment is working on your life, you can discern certain things. You can see a man and you already know when that thing is operating. You already know that this one is going to be this way. And there are different ways that gifts operate and in different people. Certain times, God gives you this ability to understand the behavior of men and understand their end by giving you unusual insight into God's word. You know, the word of God, the Bible says, is a discerner of the thoughts of the hearts of men. So while you're thinking of a thing, God's word discerns it, even discerns the motive. So a man who has that kind of insight, why you're still looking at it, that's, you saw Jesus express it. The Bible said, knowing what they were thinking. So you can have three people who love you. All of them are saying, I'll be with you. I'll ride with you. Is ride or die. Is this. We are here for you. And by the gift of discernment, you've already seen it. You just know it. So in foreknowledge, you find what is very valuable and you put it in one person's hands. You find another thing that you can do without if the person abandons it and put it in another person's hands. Why did you do that? Because you have a foreknowledge that along the line, this one that is bowing down will soon make a choice and he will abandon you. So you know you should never build anything valuable on him. Did you get that? That's how foreknowledge works. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Come on, say I hear. But are you the one that is going to make the person make those choices? Are you going to be the one that would make the person make the decisions he's going to make? But having discerned and having a foreknowledge, you can now destine what and what role he will play in your environment or in your organization or in whatever you're setting up. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you're understanding, say, I understand. Wave your hands if you're getting it. I need us to get it. Okay. So, what did I ask you to write? Read it for me. One to go. Before the foundation of the world. Okay. And then the revelation of destiny rests on these two abilities of God. What are they? And predestination. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Write it down. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. I'm going to read verse 4. I would like everybody to join me in reading verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 5 now. 1, 2, go. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So, somebody say, I knew you before you were formed. What's that? Foreknowledge. What's that? Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you. What's that? Predestination. So the predestination, that's why it's pre. The ordination happens before you were even born. So you must understand these two things, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. Let's look at the journey of a man that has a destiny from God. A destiny from God. 1, 2, go loud. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. You see the root? For whom he what? He also to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God will make choices for us. God will actually give everybody the same opportunity. The scripture says God shows no favoritism. He's a God of justice. There is no partiality with God. He will give every man. Do you know that the souls of men that were in prison, in captivity, that Jesus had to descend to hell, to shore, to preach to them? That every man will have an opportunity to either receive or reject Jesus. To either receive or reject God's grace. Every man will have. But in his foreknowledge, because that's an ability of God, he knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows, even though he's not one responsible, he gave every man free will. But he already knows those who will choose Jesus and those who will reject him. He already knows. He is not the one that will make them to reject him. He is not the one that will force them to choose him. But he already knows. Just like when he was creating Adam, he already knew Adam was going to fail. So from the foundation of the world, before Adam was created, he already slew the lamb. A provision for the sin of man. But he is not responsible for Adam's failing. Adam, he created man a free will being. And he cannot control the choices of men. He does not manipulate better. He does not manipulate the choices of man. For whom he foreknew. So every one of us in Christ Jesus today, the Lord foreknew us. And he knew that we are going to make the choice. So he predestined all of us that we are going to be conformed to the image of his son. So as he is, so are we. Today in Christ, we are one spirit with the Lord. We'll be conformed and we'll continue to grow. And that perfecting work will continue to happen until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That we might be, so that Jesus Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren. Who are his brethren now? Is that right? So we are joint heirs with Christ. He is the first son, we are sons. He is the first begotten, we are also the begotten of the Lord. God is his father, God is our father. He calls us brethren. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Give him a mighty praise. Now, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Everybody read and read verse 30 loud. One to go. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also what? And whom he justified. It starts with foreknowledge. It starts with foreknowledge. It moves to predestination. And when God predestines you, he calls you. That's what Jesus was telling us. He said, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. We came to Christ because he called us. He called us. Whom he called? The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Only few responded to the call. So if you have a call, whom he called, he justified. Who are those who are justified? Those who actually believed and answered the call. They responded to the gospel, the testimony of God concerning his son Jesus. That he's his son, he is the anointed Messiah. And for those of us who were not physically alive when this happened, through the scriptures and the gospel we heard that he died. And he died for our sins. And he was buried. And on the third day he was raised from the dead, that all who believes in him will receive eternal life, have a new life, be saved from eternal death, be saved from their sin, and now become the righteousness of God. So that word justified means you are justified. And it's through our faith in Christ, because we responded to the gospel. How many of you have received Jesus Christ and you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior? Lift your hands, let me see. Now lift your hands and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. You believe that? So tell your neighbor, you are the justified by your faith in Christ. You are saved. You have passed from eternal death to eternal life. You're no longer in your sins. You may make mistakes. Just like a child can lick sand. But that child is not a reptile, because it's licking sand. The child is just what the Bible says, foolishness abounds in the heart of a child. The child is ignorant. That's how one who is born again may and sometimes commit sin. But that you committed sin doesn't make you a sinner. Just like a child licking sand doesn't make it what? Leper. Why is the person who gave his life to Christ making a mistake? He doesn't know. He's ignorant. And that's why when he does that, there is a battle. Because his nature has changed. Before he gave his life to Christ, he did enjoy sin. He did live in sin. He did drink sin. When he gave his life to Christ, the seed of God came to live in him. And the seed of God cannot say, you notice anytime he tries to do that, everything starts reacting. That's one of the ways you know you're born again. If you enjoy sin, stay in sin, comfortable in sin, continue in it, and it doesn't move you, you're not born again. It means the spirit in you is dead, still in sin. That's why you feel nothing. If your spirit is alive in God and the seed of God is in you, that life of Christ, it cannot sin. That means every time you're overtaken by temptation, everything within you is as if you want to die. A Christian who is born again committing sin is like taking fish out of water. It's like taking fish out of water. And that's why it returns back to God in repentance and begins to plead the blood, receive mercy from the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Okay, that's one of the ways, because some people say, how do we know people that at the end of the day, some people say in rapture, those who will be with the Lord, those, if they close their eyes, they are sure they are going to go to heaven. You are sure you're born again. That's it. There is no other way. You have to be born anew. That's how you're translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God's dear son. A person may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. A person may be here and be joining us to sing our songs. But if that regeneration has not happened inside, the person is none of his. The Lord actually knows those who are his. On Sundays like this, there is a mass of people that come to church. But God knows those who are the church in the mass. What we are doing is crusade. That's why you see Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, but depart from me, I do not know you. You're not one of mine. He said, because you're a worker of what? Iniquity. Those who are born again, practice righteousness. They may fall. A righteous man may fall. Who can act this for me? You are in stage arts, Abby. The fair guy. Who is in stage arts? I need somebody in stage arts. Fast, please. Okay, I need a man. Come. Stand here. Stand here. I want everybody to watch. A righteous man may fall 7 times. Fall. But he rises again. Stand. He rises again. But a wicked man does not fall. Go and read your Bible. Lie down again. How do you fall when you're on the floor? When you see a righteous man may fall, it's because he's already... The reason he fell is because he was standing. If you're already living in sin, where are you falling? You were, that's your address. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are getting what I'm saying? But he rises again, rise. And the reason he rises again is because Jesus, God made a provision, the blood of Jesus, mercy, the love of Christ. So he has a father who tells him. So just like a child that is licking sand, he's ignorant. But like the psalmist say, your word have I hid that I may not. So the more you're teaching him the word, what happens? He now knows the difference between sand and beverage. Suddenly, I won't do this again. As he grows and matures in the things of the spirit, he begins to put to death all those things. Those things will begin to fall off. I am warning you, if you live in sin and you enjoy it, and your heart is embodied in it, and no matter what they tell you, you don't move, nothing moves you. You keep living in sin. You're not born again. No. You did church, but you're not born again. If anything happened now here you they go. I'm telling you the truth now. Know that there is a pastor who told you. Once you're born again, the nature of God is what you receive. Can you see the nature of God being comfortable in sin? It's not possible. I saw a testimony of a priest. Another testimony of a person who was a pastor. He says he's been a pastor for over 20 years and he was never born again. As a pastor, never gave his life to Jesus. Speaking about Jesus and knowing Jesus, they are two different things. That's why people will say, I cast out devils in your name. I heal the sick in your name. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Jesus said, I do not know you. Because there was no regeneration in their hearts. Casting out devils is not the proof you're born again. When the disciples came back, they were not born again when they started casting out devils. They were not born again yet. And they were rejoicing that they were casting out devils. Jesus told them, say, hey, don't rejoice for casting out devils. Rejoice first that your name is written in the book of life. I hope you're getting the pure gospel. What you're doing for Jesus must be on the foundation of knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is more important. And that you're known of him, that you're genuinely born again is important. Somebody hear me. Give God praise. God bless you. Hello. Hello. So the justified, we are in Romans 8:30. He called, he justified. So the justification means made righteous, acquitted, No guilt anymore. No reproach, no blame. In the eyes of God, he who knew no sin became sin. That you and I, who knew no righteousness, will become his what? You see, when a sinner does a good thing, does it make him a righteous man? You see, a sinner lives in sin and commits righteousness. A righteous man lives in righteousness. Certain times may be overtaken by temptation and may commit sin, repent of it, continue his walk in righteousness. A sinner lives in sin and commits righteousness. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Lift your hands. Say, I am justified through my faith in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Shout it again. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I'm no longer in my sins. I am sanctified and justified, made righteous. I have a right standing with God. If you believe that, shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Now look at how predestination. That's why somebody told me, said, Pastor, nobody knows tomorrow. I said, nah, lie. I know. The day God showed me about the secret of destiny and predestination, I told him I know. He said, Pastor, nobody knows what will become of anybody tomorrow. I said, I know. I have the mind of Christ. He said, what is it? I say, I know. I saw it. God foreknew me. He predestined me. Eh? If you hear the story of what happened to my life, when they will give birth to me, my mother's younger brother, who was living in Enugu, traveled down to Abba. And as they gave birth to me to just come and see, he lifted me and began to prophesy. My mother had three children. Out of those three children, it was me she carried. Went on the altar. Church has finished. He dropped me on the altar. I said, God, take this one. I was not aware. I was not aware. So that's predestination at work. Lift your hand and say, predestination is at work in my life. Say, my life is not a mistake. Say, my life is not a mistake. Say, nothing happens to me by accident. Say, God's predestination is at work in my life. Divine predestination is at work in my life. Say, I'm following the path God has ordained for me. If you believe that, shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Growing up, after a while, like I told people, I said I gave my heart to Jesus as a very young child. I'm very good with keeping dates. Very good with keeping dates as a person. But if you ask me which particular exact date, I would tell you, listen, I grew up knowing Jesus. How many of you came from family like that? How many of you had that experience? That's what we call godly offsprings. Do you understand me? Started speaking in tongues before I could remember I can speak in tongues. So you, how do you now place the dates? If you started speaking in tongues at the age of 3, how do you place the exact date you started speaking in tongues? So that's the kind of family God blessed me with. But along the line, I wanted to do my own thing, go my own way. From, you know, finishing primary school, especially by the time I entered JSS 1, something went off. You know, how many of you come from godly homes that you felt like you were being denied the opportunity of living it up and seeing other things in life? Hey, there is nothing I didn't do except kill a person. I was still, I didn't do those things. But apart from those things, there is nothing. Trying everything. Everything you can think of. It as if it was my ambition to prove that I can be bad. Throughout my secondary school. And in all those things, God was shielding me. He would just shield me, to the point that when I go to the point I should have fallen off a cliff, you just notice that there is an unseen hand. That the mercy of the Lord always had a way of bringing you back. Is there somebody I'm telling his story here? And then, 97, I finished from school. December, I'm getting ready, 98, to now enter Prescience. We went for a Christmas holiday that December. That's the one I can give you the date. In my grandfather's house, I now had an encounter. But you know, I've been exposed to the gospel. I already know about Jesus. I've even had Jesus, you know, reveal himself and appear. At the particular time, the enemy brought a very strange sickness. Very strange sickness. Nobody could explain where it came from. How God delivered me is that I was in a room and Jesus appeared, walked through the walls. And then he looked at me, he smiled. Just the smile of his face, that's all. Said nothing. Put his hands went through my body, brought out something and told me that, made his head like it, and that's all. I knew I was going to be, and I was healed of that. You know the kind of illness, let me explain. The Lord said I shouldn't talk about it. But it was very diabolic. Nobody, they were taking me from hospitals. Nobody could explain what it was. I'll tell you a story, another one. We were playing football in a neighbor's compound. That compound is old, was old, and they had this sucked away pit that had deteriorated and broken, and they used wood to cover it. Very deep. And the wood, rain has been beating it. They used block and wood and placed stones on the wood instead of, you know, doing this thing. Our ball ran to that place and I was rushing without looking. Pam! Inside. We were all children in primary school, and guess what? Everybody that we were playing football ran away, shouting. No adult in that compound, Constitution Crane said, oh God, Abba. Nobody in the compound. A particular woman that was living in the boys' quarters. Now, the compound is like a story building. And then they have this line of boys' quarters. So behind, that's where the space, in between the building and the boys' quarters. So those in the boys' quarters use the back to enter. This woman is a trader, or was a trader, and she said around, this thing was happening in the afternoon. She started feeling unease and she just couldn't, everything. She just said, let her close. And it has never happened. She just closed, bought some things and started coming. While everybody, the thing don't reach me here. Like this. It don't reach here. The woman came out and saw me, shouted through her things, and that's how I was rescued. All the children ran away. So I wouldn't have been here. I can tell you over and over again, my wife, my mother has told you the story of how she was carrying me for one sickness, and 9 times there was no more breath. They said the man died. 9 times the child died. My mother would cry, God bring me back. God bring me back. That's predestination. When God predestines you, it will only end in glory. I know how my life is ending. He that he predestined, he called. He that he called, he justified. We have seen the path now. Are we not in Christ today? All the wuru-wuru-wuru-wuru you did, you came to Jesus. All the things, some of you even entered court. Some of you, they almost led you into runs. Some of you have lived in a man's house that is not your husband. Now, you're worshiping Jesus. And not just that you're worshiping, cleansed, sanctified, as if you never sinned, before God, without guilt, holy, without blame, irreproachable, righteous before God. Powerful. He who justified, he also glorified. If you know the end of your story, let me hear you shout it. If you know your tomorrow according to predestination, let me hear you shout it. If you know the outcome of everything you've been through, all the rejection, all the betrayal, all the abuse, if you know the outcome of it, let me hear you shout it. Shout it. Let me hear you shout it. That's why in verse 28 that started this 29 to 30, that's what started it. But I wanted to end it with what started it. So see what it says in verse 28. And we know. Kai! See. I'm not just meandering through life. Oh. I'm walking prepared paths. And we know that how many things? Every time you failed, how many things? When you were strong, how many things? Where you were weak, how many things? Where you're coming from, how many things? The kind of family you came from, how many things? How many things? All things work to those and to those who are according. What did I tell you destiny is? Specific sovereign plan and purpose. That purpose God has for you, he planned it out. That's your destiny. So when you function in purpose, when you function in purpose, it will only end in glory. That's why the devil fights very hard to derail your destiny. But that devil is a liar. I don't know who I'm talking about. But if the devil had tried to derail your destiny, you're taking it back. Fight back. Fight back. Fight back. You're not a useless person. Fight back. Fight back. Your life is not empty. Fight back. You're not the defeated guy. Fight back. You're not the one that was raped. That's not your identity. Fight back. You're not the abused. Fight back. No. All those things you went through, there is a wine coming out of it. An anointing that you cannot explain. That anointing will not just bless your life, it will bless nations. Amen. Did you see what he told Jeremiah? He said, I ordained you a prophet to nations. When destiny is at work, you can't end the local champion. I'll give you four major facts about divine destiny. Four major facts about divine destiny. Number one, every man was foreknown by God. Every man born into this earth was foreknown by God before the foundation of the world. Every man was foreknown by God before the foundation of the world. And before the man's conception and delivery, God foreknew us. I am not a mistake. I'm not a child born by the will of the flesh. I'm not a child. So whether they agreed or they didn't agree, whether you are born out of wedlock, that's your business. That's the business. You are not a mistake. Whether you know your father biological, you know your mother, it doesn't make any meaning. Yes, emotionally sometimes it can be, you know, but sincerely I want you to know that you are not a mistake. Even the means through which you were born has something to do with your destiny. You won't become the man God destined you to be if you were not born that way. So don't waste your pain. Your pain has something to do with your ministry. Don't waste your tears. It has something. Jesus went through, suffered, and learned obedience through suffering. Submitted even to the point of death for one purpose. So that he can be a high priest that is touched with the infirmities of others. A high priest that can relate to us. So he was tempted like we are all tempted in every way. He didn't fail and didn't commit sin. Without sin, but he was tempted. He went through to be so that he can be a compassionate high priest. I noticed that all the failures I experienced in my personal life, and I had great experiences. By the time I came to Christ, I was this guy. Everything was my strength. I was very, you know, prime and proper. Everything must happen the right way. Until certain times, the things that were my strength almost became my weaknesses. I started failing in places where I was the one advising others. All the things I went through, even in the infancy of my being a pastor, all of them have come together to make me the man I am today. I notice I'm a compassionate pastor. There is nothing I can forgive. Because no matter what you carry and come to me, I have done worse than you. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. So I could relate to people where they are. It's easy for me to forgive and offer people mercy because mercy was extended to me. So when God looks for people that are down and out, that nobody can stand by, and people that everybody, they are smelling, he sends them to Pastor David. Because of what I went through, don't waste your tears. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste it. It has something to do with your glory. Say again, I am not a mistake. Say, God foreknew me. Whether they told you that you were just coming out and they didn't, you know, or you were born prematurely, they had to put you in incubator. God knew exactly the date you were born. Every hair on your head are numbered. God gave you a unique fingerprint. You are unique and fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody is like you. When God was putting you together, it's for a specific purpose. Nobody else is like you. Give him praise. Number two. The second thing you need to know about destiny is that every man is born for a reason. First, every man born was foreknown by God. Second, when a man is born, every man is born for a reason. And what's that reason? To fulfill a God-ordained purpose. Every man is born for a reason. To fulfill a God-ordained purpose. To fulfill the plan, specific plan that God has for him. Every man. God has a plan for every man born. Now, I'm going to explain your purpose with two sentences that will help you. What is a man's purpose? You know, sometimes purpose is different from vision. I'm going to teach you all these things by the Spirit of God. What's the man's purpose? The first sentence, a man's purpose is the witness God created the man to bear. The witness God created the man to bear for the blessing of his kingdom. Look at John the Baptist. God created him to be the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He knew he was not that light. He was not the one they were looking for, but he was the forerunner. He knew his place. And so he said it before. When they came and told him, this man you baptize is now baptizing people. He said, hey, he will increase that I may what? Decrease. He knew his purpose. He knew his place. And he didn't try to drag it. What frustrates people the most is when they do not know their purpose. Every frustration in life is traced to ignorance of purpose. When a man does not know. So the Bible said, Jesus testified of, he said, this one came to bear witness of me. He was a burning and a shining light, and his witness of me is true. He came to introduce the Messiah. So there is something you were created to bear witness of. Some of you here, you are created to bear witness that God is awesomely powerful. You're going to notice whatever men call impossible is what you are anointed to do. That's your purpose. Every time people meet you, what men call impossible always comes possible. There are some of you here that God has created you to bear witness that he's merciful. When men want to see how merciful God is, they see you. What you've gone through, every time when they are expecting you will die, the mercy of the Lord will bring you out. Some of you, you have committed in this life. Oh. Waiting don't collect the head of others. But imagine Saul makes one mistake. The kingdom is taken from you. Makes the second mistake. You are rejected from kingship. First mistake, none of your children will know. I wanted to establish this to be your house. It will no longer be. The second two mistakes took this guy out. Two, only two. David. Naughty boy. David. But when you go to see him write things like Psalm 51, you understand. That guy was a witness of the loving kindness of God. That's why you start seeing him say things like, your loving kindness is better than life. He knew God not as a judge. He knew God as a merciful father. He will always apply. David, any small thing, he will just come outside. Oh, come outside. Shout. I don't see no. He will remove his robe. Paul, Saul wanted robe. He wanted ego. David, which ego? He will come to the court, not in his chambers, where every servant will see him so they can gossip. Remove all his robe. Carry ash. Put. Everybody will say, King, don't sin. He actually believes that as the more they talk about him, the more God is merciful. One day he was running from his son because he wouldn't fight his son. The son has rebelled against him. He wouldn't fight his son. And he was leaving the city of David because he doesn't want to make war with his son. And a man stood on a wall and was abusing him, even stoning him with all his generals. Do you understand David's mighty men? His men said, one of the generals said, King David, just give me permission. One strike, if I strike twice and he's not dead, take my head off. Just one strike. He said, no, leave him. Let him abuse me so God can have mercy. People, there are some people, their ego is larger than their fear of God. They will rather, that's what brought Saul down. They will rather, okay, God has rejected him. No problem. He held Samuel on his garment and said, still go with me so the people will not know. What people thought of him was more important than what God thought of him. There are people.
They will rather die than be forgiven. They will hide that thing so people will not think of them this way. But there are some of you that your failures has become a message today. God is using you to draw people out of hell. You were created to bear witness that God is merciful. That there is no pit so deep that God can reach deeper. There are some of you that, for example, me, hey, I'm a witness of God's love. I've not met anybody I couldn't love. And I've not met anybody that hurt me to a point I couldn't love. No matter what, it's extraordinary. I'm a love ambassador. All my friends that are close to me, what they call me is apostle of love. You come around me, you will know that the love of God is real. To bear, what is it? It's specific. There is something you were created to bear witness of. There are some of you here, God created you to bear witness that Jehovah were a mother, that God has men. You are one man squad. They'll be in a crowd. Everybody, when God wants to do something and everybody's in, God will just empower you. You are empowered. That's why you excel more than others. That's why you receive the kind of favors you receive. I'm like that. Papa Deboye was talking about how he went for camp meeting in America one time. And in that camp meeting, I want to listen carefully. A man came up and said, all of them in the camp meeting, and they were in thousands, they were raising money for a project. It's okay. Sit down. The people are already taking care of it. Close that door. All of them, they had thousands of people. And the man came up and said, God has blessed him. He said, for this project, all of you here, and he said many of them were even ministers, people. He said, all of you should give and try your best. That he's challenging everybody. That whatever collectively all of you give, him and the wife will double it. If you give $3 million, he will double it. He will give extra $3 million. And they all gave and gave. And they came to some amount, millions of dollars. And when they calculated it, he now came up and challenged, he said, is this all you can do? He said, well, he has never seen this kind of thing. Immediately after the meeting, he ran to the man and said, I want to know your secret. He said, it's a very simple thing. He said that he was broke. Things were not working. Coming from a very humble beginning, God gave him an idea. He had a deal, like a covenant with God. He said, if you increase me and you keep raising me, I will take my money to make sure your kingdom prospers. He said, I'll be giving you this percentage. If you increase me more, I give you this percentage. If you increase me more, I give you. He said, I have kept to it. He said, right now, I am giving out 90% of my income for God's work. I only live on 10. That 10 is a mega, mega hundreds of millions moving into billions. That 10. He said, God has now multiplied that 10. He said, I just live my life. You see, that person was born to, created for that purpose. There is a purpose, there is a witness you were created to bear. John chapter 18, verse 37, fast, so we can close. Can you give me the ESV? I want to hold your neighbor. Help me read that to your neighbor and read it well. 1, 2, go. So you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. Shout it again. Tell your neighbor, there is a purpose you were born. What did he say?
I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, listen to me. What were you born to bear witness of? And is unique to you. That's your purpose. The second sentence that will help you. A man's purpose is also the solution God created the man to bring. The solution you were created to bring for the blessing of humanity. Every man is given a gift that is a solution for some problems. Your gift is a solution to someone else's problem. You see, I'm gifted to teach. That's a gift of God. That's a gift of God. And there are people that need to have understanding better. They've heard the gospel, but there are certain things they need to understand. When you meet me and you see my gift and you receive it, it's solving your problem. Is that right? How many of you went through the 10 irrefutable laws of wealth? How many of you? How many of you is it solving problems for your financial wealth? How many of you will notice that the way I taught it, though a pastor, you may never have had people who are even business coaches teach you that way. Brought it down because there is a gift to that. It's a gift. Your gift is a solution for the problem of men. Every man's gift should leave the world a better place. There is something God has placed in you. How many of you have been in a place where you have prayed, you're a Christian, you just don't want to study, you're a very hard worker. At that moment, you just want to relax and you want to laugh. How many of you have been there? You have that need, right? There are people gifted to make people laugh. At that moment, the gift of comedy, the gift of being an entertainer, begins to solve the needs you have of being entertained. And that's why people can pay money to go for a comedy show. There is a problem you are called and created to solve. And if you can discover that, you have discovered your purpose. Let's see another scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. New King James. Write it down. He who sins, that word sins, is a continuous, the stress is continue to sin. Remember I told you, a righteous man may what? Fall. He may commit, he may be overtaken. May, it's not a must, he may. But the man who sins, who practices sin, lives in sin, is of the devil. Don't let anybody fool you. For the devil had sinned from the beginning. But that's not my focus. We've talked about that. Hold your neighbor and read the B part. 1, 2, go. For this purpose, the Son of God must manifest. That he might. So one of the works is the work of sin. He destroys sin. But if you go to scriptures like Acts chapter 10 verse 38, you see how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? Power. Who went about doing good and healing, also meaning delivering, all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That means he knew his purpose. Another person, anybody he sees, potential client. Jesus, if he just see you, is there any devil there? If there is no devil, is there any work the devil has done? So the Bible said they will bring to him all who were sick and he healed them. How can you carry the anointing of a shepherd and people weary you? I don't understand. I pray you understand me. Do you know who a shepherd is? And Jesus looked and saw. that these men are scattered as people without a shepherd, weary, frustrated. God said, how can I find shepherds? God now created you, placed that thing on you. You say, I just like being alone, on my own. There is nothing wrong with that. You have the time you alone for input, but you must know that the input is for a purpose. All that worship, all that prayer, all that meditating on the word of God, all that crying inside, night after night showeth knowledge, so that day after day we utter speech, is for you to now come out and use that investment of grace to shepherd others. You're running from people. If you just see the people's call, hey, don't disturb me. Purpose. Do you know what it means to receive a gift of healing and it's upon you? And there are people that receive this thing and they walk in dynamic ways. If anywhere you come around them, they can mix food for you. If you stay around them, immediately here, you're feeling like this. They didn't go to any school to teach them about nutrition. They just know, start taking this, remove this. And you do that for 3 weeks, your body changes. It's a gift of healing. When you see gifts of healing, that's one place the scripture says gifts. There are people that when you're talking about the anointing of God's whole, of the Spirit of the Lord, they can pray for everybody, but their own is anyone with mental issue. Once they meet anybody with mental issue, pam. Pastor Kenneth Hagin will talk about a particular man. His own operation was something else. A particular people with, he would just come, he spit on his finger, pam, pam, rub on their head, they are healed. Diverse gifts. There is nobody God didn't design to be a solution. You're not part of the problem. You're a solution. The only reason you're feeling frustrated is that you think everything about your life is a problem. You've not discovered that there is something God placed in you that should be a solution to somebody else. Let me tell you, if I dare stop doing what I'm doing, I may wake up to a root shock that there are a whole lot of issues with my life. The reason I can't see it, and the reason I don't feel it, the reason I'm moving, I'm gliding like I'm gliding in the air, is that I'm focused on my gift and utilizing it in blessing people. The more I'm blessing people, the more valuable I am. The more I'm impacting people, the more valuable I am. And when you're valuable, you're honored. You're preferred. Everywhere I go, there's two. Nobody likes you. Nobody calls you. Because you don't understand purpose. He who looks to the sun sees no shadow. If you focus on purpose, you won't see the frustrations. All these things that are hovering over your head, as if you're about to lose your mind, is that you kept your eyes off the sun and you're observing your shadows. The shadows are there. I said it on Wednesday. When God says the light shines, he didn't say the darkness won't be there. He said it shines where? But the darkness is always helpless. When light shines, darkness will shift. Embrace purpose and a glorious life begins. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.